Hello. Welcome back to Sessions G Podcast. I'm your host, Gabriella Love. We are back with another intuitive session. I am so excited to have Vance with us today. I'm feeling so enthusiastic and just excited to see what is going to unfold on this episode. Vance, welcome to Sessions G. Please feel free to introduce yourself.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Introduce myself. Yeah, sure. I'm trying to remember actually how long ago we met, but that must have been
probably about 5 years ago. Maybe. I think
at least like 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we met through like a personal development program. It's really cool. I'm right now living in Bali. I'm an entrepreneur. I have a whole bunch of different projects going on. And a lot of them in kind of like the e-commerce space, and I'm recently moving into creating education and information products that are going to be helping people launch their businesses. And I've had quite a journey in exploring all sorts of different types of paths, projects, businesses, and kind of eventually led me to traveling and becoming a nomad, I guess. So I've been working remotely for the past like over 3 years now. And so just not really having a home, kind of moved away from my home back in Canada, which I'm originally from, and found my way to eventually Thailand. And now I'm in Bali, where I'm gonna see myself for at least a little while in the foreseeable future. And while I continue to work on the projects that I think will create an impact.
Awesome. What an awesome introduction. So why Bali? Why has that sort of been a place that you want to stay in for some time?
Well, I mean, I first came to Bali probably about 2 years ago. While I was living in Thailand, I made a small trip over here and I really enjoyed it. It was like a really, really, really interesting place where it's got this island vibe. It's got lots of different types of communities with people that are either entrepreneurs working on cool projects or more of these spiritual communities where people are working on all aspects of personal growth and all sorts of different types of like healing modalities. There's lots of nature to explore here, which is super, super cool. So I've come back to Bali a few times while I've been in Asia, and there's always something about it that interested me. And recently, after staying in Thailand for about 2.5 years-ish, on and off, I finally decided, okay, it's time to go somewhere different, and Bali was the place that kind of spoke to me, and I just said, okay, let's give that a shot. And I came here right before COVID, without knowing that COVID was happening, and it just turned out that it was a really perfect time to come. I mean, I was coming anyways, but it turned out that it was going to be a really cheap time to be here because there's not so much tourism. And it was much more quiet, which is something that I really like. So recently it's been extremely quiet compared to how it would normally be when it's full-blown tourism. So yeah, really, really liking it here. And been super inspired to get stuff done and get into really, really healthy habits here, meeting kind of people that are inspiring that aspect of my personal growth. So it's been nice. So I'm really enjoying that. And I'd like to stay for a little bit longer, at least until... we'll see what happens. I'm very open.
Nice. That's awesome. That's so awesome. So good to hear and so inspiring. I hear about Bali often, and it always just lights a spark in me. It's awesome to hear that you're having such a good time. Before we started the podcast, we were just talking about these different layers, and eventually you get to the greater purpose or the, I don't know, the way you described it, either it was greater purpose or greatest purpose or just that a different layer of purpose. Can we go back to that for a second? Can you maybe run through that? And then once you're done that, I'd like you to also add, how did you come to that sort of philosophy or perspective on purpose?
Cool. Yeah. This kind of model for, it's kind of come through a lot of personal experience, I think. And I really like going through certain experiences and trying to create like a framework or a model in it from my personal understanding, because it allows me to take what I've experienced and then be able to turn it into something that I can apply myself, so I can understand what I'm doing and how it fits within that type of model. So mm-hmm. I guess it's a little bit in a nerdy way, but then I can also have an opportunity to talk about it with other people and then see, you know, do other people see it the same way? Do they think, you know, do they think it's different, or they think there's another way to look at it? And that allows for some way of like talking about something that's generally pretty abstract. So mm-hmm. This one I've actually only recently kind of put together in this type of way, and it was inspired by a book that I was reading called Way of the Superior Man. And mm-hmm. I've always known that, you know, at different points in your life, when you're a child, you're like, you know, something is so interesting to you. And then a few years later, that thing that was so interesting to you, that was the biggest part of your life, becomes not so interesting. So at that point, you develop almost like a new interest or a new focus or a new purpose, if you want to call it that. And I've noticed that, like, through different parts of my life, this has always kind of been evolving. And I think as humans, this is just like the natural type of evolution. So when we were in university, or when I was in university, the most important thing was to kind of work within that system, to get good grades, to meet certain types of people, to start building up for my career, whatever it was. And at that point, that was the thing to do. And then from there, it's kind of, you know, I think as you graduate from that layer, I guess like actually graduate from university or graduate from that layer, there might be another layer that opens up after that, right? And mm-hmm. I think this is like, it's almost like layers to an onion. So you keep peeling and you keep peeling and you keep peeling, and then you eventually get deeper and deeper and deeper. And as you experiment and find things that you either like or connect with you, and you live that to its fullest, then you can start shedding that layer, and then you can go to the next layer that's a little bit deeper, because you've gone through those experiences where you're trying something new, and okay, this worked, this didn't work, I really like this part of it. And then that allows you to kind of almost open up to that next layer that's deeper, because you've had those experiences to kind of explore and experiment with. And I think it's like a live, like ongoing process. It's something mm-hmm. that kind of goes, And something could happen that can change what, you know, what that looks like in the next stage. It could be, you know, something drastic happens, like something with your health, or like maybe somebody important to you passes away, and that really changes the path. So it's not, I see it as it's kind of like this dynamic process that's going on in life for everyone, where when you're going through this, and what happens to you and the way that you experience certain things will allow you to kind of open that up and go deeper to your deeper level of purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. That's beautiful. So well put. It resonates with me. For me, one way of looking at it, or another way, I guess, of putting all of that, which is kind of where I've arrived with my relationship with purpose or my perspective on it, is that purpose for me is it's relative to my current circumstances, or the current layer that I am peeling or currently working with. And so it's you know, focusing on the purpose right now, and focusing on the purpose with this layer is to basically focus on this sort of stage of the process and the journey. And then as I hit, you know, reach completion of the peeling of this layer, and then I hit the next layer, and that's when purpose changes relative to that, you know, that set of circumstances or that layer. And that's how I've looked at it as of recent, and probably maybe the last couple of years or so. And so that's why it resonates with me quite a bit. It's really, really cool, the way you're using layers to relate to purpose. That's really, really cool. So what's the layer for you right now?
I think there's a lot of things happening. And I think, you know, when you create a model, it's like the point, or a framework or model, the point is to kind of simplify the understanding. But when mm-hmm. you're like, I mean, when I'm going through my day to day, there's like all sorts of different things happening that are related to different aspects of, I guess you can look at it, different aspects of purpose. And for me right now, this year was a heavy focus on my health, for example. and mm-hmm. just really getting into like a good physical state where I could feel good and like have that impact my life in other ways. So focusing on sleep, focusing on nutrition, focusing on fitness. And that was a huge portion of, you know, you can maybe call it a mini purpose, or you can kind of look at this like as a component, but that mm-hmm. was like a huge focus for me as like this year. And another component was focusing on building my businesses and having building towards financial stability as well. And of course, that's super important to be able to have that foundation to be able to lead to other things that I would like to work on in the future, or lead to a certain lifestyle that I would like to live. And that's kind of been another component that's taken up a lot of my focus as well. And along with that, you know, this year I've worked a lot with improving my relationship with my family. This was actually mm-hmm. something that I never really thought much about before this year, actually. And I mean, of course, I care about my family, but this year was the first year where I think it was actually because of COVID, where I started calling home a lot, having conversations with my parents over the phone. And before, it used to be my parents would call me, and I would just be annoyed to see like the phone call sometimes. And you know, it's like a really bad state to be in with how I felt about, you know, that. And it's not that I didn't love them, but it's just like this natural instinctive response that kind of kicked over me when they called. And, you know, now it's changed to the point where I'm investing in it, and I'm deciding, okay, I'm going to call them as often as I can, usually once a week, and have some conversations with them. So, you know, in all these realms, I think there's different things that I can focus on. And I think, I'm still kind of building this overall purpose for myself, but mm-hmm. I think that what I'm coming to this year is that it's around the theme of being able to experience freedom and love, and you know, the higher purpose element of that is to be able to bring that to my interactions with other people, and to be able to allow other people to experience freedom and love, and it could be in whatever capacity that might be. It could be, you know, in the work that I'm doing, where I teach certain things that might help people with their business and allows them to achieve maybe financial or lifestyle freedom. It could be, you know, just being around somebody and not being judgmental, and just being able to allow them to experience the freedom of just being themselves. Like, that is this is kind of the theme that I've come to. And actually recently this just came to me not so long ago, in the way that is kind of like I'm describing to you. This was something mm-hmm. that was kind of, I was just meditating one morning, and this just came to me out of nowhere, as a way to kind of conceptualize the stuff that I've been working on. And I think that's how I would describe it at this point. And I think like we talked about, this is going to change. Like, there's no, maybe it's going to change in the way I relate to it. Maybe it's going to change in the sense of like narrowing down to something a little bit more specific. But mm-hmm. As of this point, you know, I've taken all the stuff that's kind of happened this year, and it's kind of led me to this, this perspective about my current purpose.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Awesome. Just for the record, this, accepting this invitation to come and do this podcast episode with me, and just sort of be intuitive and be present to each other, that, for me is a demonstration of freedom and love. It assists me in feeling freedom as it pertains to creating and being creative and working and collaborating with others, as well as it demonstrates love, as you know, the acceptance of the invitation and the showing up to do that with me. That for me is a demonstration of love, and I feel loved and I feel supported in you know, embodying and really living out that sense of freedom, by you know, having this opportunity to co-create in this space with you. So you are you know, for this particular podcast, you have extended yourself in ways that have assisted me in feeling both freedom and love. Yeah, which is really cool. I'd love to ask you about, so you said earlier, this year is the first time, or it feels like the first time, that you've started to invest your time and energy and focus on developing nourishing the relationship with family. What about the pandemic caused that shift for you?
That's a great question. Actually, I thought about this one quite a bit, and I think when there's a situation where people experience a crisis or they experience like a challenge, and you're in the same challenge, it kind of creates this this environment or this situation where as humans we want to support each other, and we want to be able to help each other, especially when it's something that we can see the pain or we can see a bad situation happening. There's a natural instinct, I think, to help. It's just like if somebody, you know, fell in the street, or you know, if they drop something and it looks like they can't pick it up, or like they're, you know, it's just that natural desire to help. And I think with the pandemic, it was, you know, it was very clear that this was something that everybody was experiencing. And at the beginning, that's when I called my parents the most. I got the sense that they were, you know, they were feeling fearful or they're feeling concerned. And, you know, I made the decision not to go home, like to not leave Bali and go back to Canada. And I guess I recognized that they were feeling that way, and that they're feeling like either fearful or concerned, or maybe that there's something that it was, you know, they didn't feel fully comfortable with the situation. So in that situation, I recognized what was happening. And in a way, like we were all going through the same thing. I was feeling uncertain as well. And I wasn't 100% certain that this is the best decision. But I ended up recognizing that this was a good opportunity for me to connect with them and actually call them and have conversations with them. And it was good for me too sometimes, because it was not only, hey, I'm going to do this for them. It was great to be able to have conversations with them about what's happening in their lives, like what are they feeling. And it was, it's just like this created this kind of weird situation where it was almost as if we were going to step up to support each other. And definitely my parents were calling me, and they were, you know, this is something that wasn't so excited about, but my dad was sending me all these videos and news about COVID. And I remember at some point he sent me this video. So he never told me come back, but I think he was hinting at it, or he's hinting his concerns. He would send me this video from the Prime Minister of Canada saying, everybody come home. We highly recommend everybody come home. And he sent me things like that. And, you know, like I could have been really annoyed with it. I could have been like, oh, why are you sending me this? But it clearly came from a place of being supportive and just wanting to share this information that he thought would be valuable, or he thought might contribute to my decision somehow. And I think just the situation created this for all of us to be able to support each other. And I called my brother a lot this year and had a lot of conversation because he was here with me and he decided to go back to Canada. Mm-hmm. So I think through this, we just created we had this like really good situation that came where we just ended up just connecting more and being able to support each other.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I hope that is the case for a lot of people out there and a lot of families. That is truly a beautiful, natural sort of gradual reaction to the scenario we all found ourselves in that we call the pandemic. But you brought up something interesting there, which I'd love for us to maybe dive into a little bit further. And also, as this is an intuitive session, feel free to take us wherever you feel like going at any point. You brought up that, you know, your dad had sent you this video, and there's often, I find, when people are either sending us either information in the form of videos or posts, or they're offering their suggestions, their advice, their opinion, etc., often if we don't necessarily agree with it, or it isn't necessarily what we were looking for or felt we needed, it's easy to forget the intention, that the intention is good-hearted and it is good-natured, and the intention from the giver or the person on the other end is generally it's a genuine, you know, desire to be helpful, to help, to contribute, to give. And it may not look like we expect that to look like, and it may not be what we perceive in our own mind to be like an offering of, you know, help or service or kindness or love. But it for the most part, I think people whenever they share of themselves, it's good-hearted. The intention is in the right place. It just so happens that that's what they think is something good for you. That they think it's good for you. And so, like that, that's a real. I always find that that's an important thing to remember when we're on the receiving end of things, whether it's someone giving us advice or someone sharing their opinion, or even when someone is expressing something like anger and they're upset. Generally, I think the intention is not to be harmful. Rather, the intention is good. It's just the way in which it's packaged and sent off in our direction isn't necessarily what we expect or want. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. It makes a lot of sense.
Cool.
I totally get that. And I mean, it's so easy to just take the content of what's being said or the way that it's being said and just react based on that. I think most people, I mean, I'm definitely like very guilty of this, is either what you're saying or the way you're saying it is, I'm going to make a huge decision about, I mean, it's not even conscious, but I'll make a big judgment call about how I feel about the situation based on what you're saying and how you're saying it. And sometimes I don't necessarily consider the behind the scenes of the intention or like what's actually going on that's making this person say or express or like do this thing that they're doing. And that's the harder thing to judge, right? I mean, it's sometimes you don't know and sometimes it's not very clear. But it's very clear when somebody says, do this or don't do this, that's what they said. And they maybe said it in an angry way and that you already feel it. And that's, that's the experience that you get. It takes another layer, I think, to be able to try to go deeper and say, okay, well, why is this person doing this? Or like, what's the intention or how are they feeling to have had this happen? And I think that's definitely a skill to develop. It's not like I don't think we're all automatically good at this, or maybe we were at some point and then it got to this point where we started making more of these snap judgments based on what was happening and what people said versus just taking the time to try to understand. So I think it's a skill to be able to have either the desire or the patience or like the actual skill of maybe empathy or like a desire to understand, to be able to get deeper and try to understand what's behind what is being said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. It's a skill. Yeah, I can totally see that. It's definitely a skill. I mean, like many, many other things in life, I think it's definitely a skill. One of the things that I came to realize probably this year, I suddenly kind of found myself looking back at the last decade or so of my life, and I was aware in that moment of sort of taking inventory that I changed on so many levels and in so many ways, and I now have these kinds of skills, that being an example of that. And for a very long time, I thought it was just sheer luck. Like I thought I'd just gotten lucky, or that, I don't know, it was just one giant coincidence. And in some ways there's certainly coincidence involved. But also what I realized when, taking that inventory of the last decade or so was that I also worked really hard at it. I worked really hard at developing these different skills. It didn't just happen overnight. It happened over an extended period of time and over many, many sort of trials, error, lots of failing here and there, lots of mistakes, lots of lessons learned, lots of sort of hurt along the way, getting hurt along the way. So it didn't happen overnight. Those skills definitely happened over time, and they happened because of consistent effort that I kind of kept putting into it. So that's really, really cool. Skills are I mean, they're very helpful. They're very useful.
Skills are important.
Yes, the they are. Right. Yeah,
This is such an important point, and I think most people, believe that a lot of things are ingrained, and to a sense, there are certain tendencies that we have based on our past experiences. Maybe they're genetics, or maybe there's things that happened as a kid that made us better at certain things or worse at other things. And I think that it's definitely important to respect those differences in people. Like there's definitely people that are going to be better at certain things by the time they're 18 than other people. And it's probably a lot of it to do with things that they didn't really actively control. And it's important to recognize that, whether it's genetics or whether it's like, an environment with your family, or, whatever series of things that had happened that resulted in you being an 18-year-old that that happens to be really good or really, really bad at this other thing. But I think that's the part that people put the most emphasis on, because there's like, oh, this is just how I am. And like one of the things that in a way is one of the things that bothers me a little bit is when people say that they, this is just how I am, and making that type of really, really strong statement about, this is the circumstance that I'm currently in. And I totally get it. There's certain things that if I were to say this is how I am now, there are certain like personality traits or certain like attributes, I would say that this is how I am. But I think there's another element to this, which is like the skill part that we're talking about. This is how you are at age 18, but there's other things that you can do to start making an intentional effort towards being like another version of that, if that's what you want. So I think most people just disregard this part of it and just say, okay, well, this is how I am. This is just how it is. This is how I'm going to respond to people, or this is just, I'm short tempered and this is just how I am. But I personally think that that's a bit of a cop out. I mean, you can improve, and we know this from, we understand this very intuitively when it comes to exercise or sports. Like, we know that if we exercise and we go to the gym every day for the next 6 months, we're going to get bigger muscles, we're going to get better cardio. It's just obvious, right? Mm-hmm. And, we know this in studying or learning as well. Like, we know that if we read certain books, we spend certain time like practicing like math questions or whatever, we're eventually going to get better at that thing. But this is less understood, or I think it's less applied for things like, like empathy or emotional reactions, or like things that, people don't think much about, like, how can I improve that element of it? If you're happy 100% with exactly how you respond to situations, and maybe you're not even aware of it, that's totally cool, because that's just the capacity or like the desire that you have at that point. But if it becomes, I'm reacting this way, and I'm super angry when somebody says something that just makes me upset, and I don't like this. Well, if you don't like it, then there's must be something that you want more than that. Like, maybe you want to be better in situations, more empathetic, or you want to be more emotionally intelligent, or like more composed when it comes to like stressful situations. And if you want that, then I think it's really easy it's not easy, but it's simple. So it's simple to understand, okay, if I want this thing, what does it take for me to practice, or what am I need to do to start moving in that direction of that thing that I want? So if I want to react less angrily in situations where people just say something and I just go off and just go on a like an anger spree for like the next 3 days, then you start taking steps and recognizing what it is that you need to do to move towards like that ideal state. So it becomes like a skill that you practice, rather than this is just how I am, but this is like an ingrained characteristic. And recognizing that, yes, there are differences in people, and there are differences in the fact that people are going to respond differently and they have different capacities for certain skills, but really seeing it as a skill is much more empowering for people than to say this is just how it is. And yeah, I this is something that I'm passionate about, because I've worked on a lot of skills, and there's plenty of areas for where I can still improve, but I think it's really important to recognize that if you want something bad enough, or if you want to improve in this area, you can find a way to do it. And it's just so crazy that as a culture, we recognize this in intelligence, we recognize this in physical training, but we don't necessarily recognize this in other other ways where it's maybe even more impactful if you were to develop your skill in like empathy, for example, or like patience, or you know, these types of areas.
Yeah. And I imagine like part of the reason why we don't recognize that as easily is probably has to do with just like the legacy of the way in which things unfolded historically, or the way, you know, the society, the North American society, for example, was built. And there were maybe some periods of time in history where it just wasn't that important. It wasn't a priority. It was more important to kind of develop all those other skills to kind of keep things together and keep things moving. And I think also part of it is, and this is just my opinion, I think for a lot of people, it's a lot more challenging to conceptualize what those steps actually look like for some of these skills. It's easy to think about, you know, getting good at math or getting good at playing the guitar or getting good, you know, being healthy and physically fit. These are very clearly defined like steps that you can take and practices. Whereas with something like you know, not being emotionally reactive as much, or being able to stop and be patient and actively listen to the other person, like these kinds of things, it's just a lot more challenging to come up with actual clearly defined steps to take in order to develop those skills, because it's almost like the way in which we conceptualize all of those things are very like you know, they're not physical. We can't like we don't attribute like a degree of physicality to them like we do with something like math or a guitar or the gym. So I imagine like part of that is just that it's difficult to actually see like what does it look like to actually build the skill and work on it. And so because that's difficult, it presents a challenge. And you know, the more challenging something feels, I think a lot of people, we tend to shy away from that. We tend to kind of, you know, not even bother getting close enough to it. Because if we get any closer, then, you know, we're faced with this problem that we don't necessarily know how to solve.
Yeah, totally. I think you're definitely right about that. And it's this, I guess it's this uncertainty, or it's not a clear path. I mean, some people feel that way about guitar as well. Like when I started trying to learn guitar, I'm still like very, very bad at it. But for me, it was just like, I don't know the path to success with this. And so I could feel that intimidated about guitar, but there's videos online and there's like, it's very clear that there's like a progression that you can use for getting better at guitar. But yeah, I totally understand that if it's not so clear, then it may just be too intimidating to start. And but I think, you know, there's a lot of people talking about this type of thing now. So it's not like I think it just comes down to like a recognition that it's possible, and then a desire to do it. Because nowadays with YouTube, you can literally go online and just search up any topic, and there's going to be people, unless it's like super, super weird topic, like there's hundreds of people already talking about it, hundreds or thousands of articles already on this topic. So if you're looking to improve your patience, or, you know, just be, you know, feel happier on a regular basis, like there's ways to do this. And there's thousands of people that have already had this question before you. You're definitely not the first. And if you're the first to ask the question that's never been answered, I think that's like a really cool thing too. It's just like, you can be the person that figures that out, and then you'll be the pioneer of that topic. But yeah, I think it comes down to two things. Like one is the desire. So you have the initial, like, you have the initial desire to want this, and you have to want it so that you're going to spend time to do it. Because if you don't want to, you're going to be like me playing the guitar. I mean, I wanted it initially, and I just didn't want it bad enough so that, like, after a few weeks of practice, I just kind of, you know, I mean, I didn't give up fully, but it's like I didn't continue practicing. So I think having that strong desire to want it bad enough is that first component. And then the second is like some type of some type of like, I mean, it's related to desire, but like this is also a skill, wanting to figure out like how you can actually do it and break it down in steps. So that's like that's actually a skill as well. Like some people are really good at this and they become really good teachers or very good coaches. It's just to identify like this thing that you want and break it down into smaller steps to be able to move towards eventually that goal. So you're not going to go from wanting to play you're not going to go from wanting to play basketball to dunking, but you'll start with dribbling, and maybe if you're not physically fit enough, you'll start with some running, and then there's a whole bunch of things that you can do to start training yourself to eventually dribble and do layups and maybe eventually dunk. But yeah, there's definitely a skill involved in being able to break down these types of things. And generally, like when I come across this type of situation, for me, I really like this. I really like to. I personally am kind of like an overthinker sometimes, and I mean not sometimes, a lot, but I really like this idea of being able to. So I personally like this idea of being able to see the entire picture first, but sometimes it's not possible. Like sometimes people really want to understand the entire picture of how they're going to be successful and how it's going to work before they take the first step. But what I've learned over the years is that I think it's actually a lot more valuable to be able to just take the first step. And the question I like to ask is, I actually like to ask these two questions. One is, what do I want? And that defines that first part, which is the desire. And then the second question I like to ask is, what is the smallest step that I can take that will move me in that right direction? And it's important to, like, for me at least, that it doesn't have to be the right step. Like, it doesn't have to be the perfect step. It might just be like the first step is I'm going to start YouTubing some videos, mm-hmm. or like I'm going to start doing something to move me closer to that direction. Or I'm going to talk to somebody about this, or I'm going to, this, like, the first step doesn't have to be like the perfect step of I have to learn exactly how to dribble properly. It might just be that I'm going to talk to my friend who's played basketball for a few years, and that might be enough, because that essentially, when you take that first step, it starts building momentum, at least from my experience. And then it gives you positive feedback, and then the positive feedback allows you to kind of just keep going. And that's kind of worked for me in a lot of situations, like including with my businesses, like a lot of times where there's no clear path. Like it's just, you just start. And then it's actually good that if you make the first move and it's actually not what you need, because then you know that's not the thing. And then you know, okay, well, if that's not the thing, what is the next thing that I could try that will be closer to that thing? And so it's just like process. And this is it's two simple questions. What do I want? And what's the first step that I can take that'll move me closer to that thing that I want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so cool. I agree with all of that 100%. And it's funny. It's definitely the way I've approached things, being, having sort of a clearly defined desire or intention or goal, and then breaking it down into steps that I can take. Now, that said, I've also, and I'm speaking from experience here, I've also many, many times, and that's shifted now for me, thankfully, but I've also on many occasions, despite having had those steps in front of me, the fear of not knowing what the actual bigger picture looks like, and just not having a sense of that, what that looks like, and the fear of things just not working out or failing despite the steps that I take was much stronger and louder than that desire and that sort of perspective that there are possibilities, and it is possible to just take those steps and for that path to become clear over time. Now, what's shifted for me personally is that I after many moments in which I gave in to the fear and sort of turned around and went backwards after doing that so many times, finally I realized that all that was really doing was nothing. It wasn't getting me anywhere. Like the only way to actually move forward within like the context of things that I was most intimidated by was to just take those steps and just take those leaps and just go with it and stay in that sort of action mode without stopping to revert back into that fear mode. That said, I'd love to hear your thoughts around what do you think is, like, what have you noticed in your experiences in working with people, in teaching? What have you noticed that are some common things that get in the way for people in just using that very simple process of, you know, you have your desire, you have your clearly defined goals, you break it down into a small step that you can take, and then you go and you run with it. Do you find that it's similar to sort of like the experiences that I've had where fear is just bigger and louder and it paralyzes people from taking action, or is it something else? Like, what have you noticed in terms of what stops people from really taking those steps?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, first of all, I want to say I'm not a professional at this. I'm not a professional coach. I'm not a professional like anything in this world. This is just something that I use personally. And then if I've talked to people that are, you know, maybe friends that are stuck or people that I'm kind of working with, this becomes something that I just kind of, you know, I just kind of share kind of what's worked for me. So I'm not an expert in this topic by any means, but I think what you said is probably, I think there's two things, and I think they're kind of they're embedded into fear. So I guess if we combine it, it could just be fear. But I think one of the biggest things is like people don't, people are afraid of the outcome. So people are afraid that they might fail or that they're concerned about something that's not going to go well. And then all the what if questions that come from that. So what if I fail and it's, you know, what's going to happen then? Am I going to lose my home? Am I going to, you know, is my partner going to leave me? Like all this kind of stuff that just comes from fear and not knowing what's going to happen. So the second one is actually uncertainty. So it's just not sure if this is the right thing to do and just wanting to have all the right information before making that step. And I'm super guilty for this. Sometimes I just take a lot of time thinking about a certain thing, like over and over again, like running it in my head through the scenarios and like trying to analyze it like in all possible ways. And it comes from this idea of like, not only am I afraid of what will eventually happen, like I'm not sure what's gonna go down if I just start taking this first step, and because I'm not certain that this is the right first step. And I think most people get stuck in those areas, and I definitely, from my experience, like that's where I get stuck the most, is like spending a lot of time in that first step figuring out if this is the right one. And so I think both of those are in fear. And I think what's important to recognize in the theme of what we're talking about, in my opinion, is that this is also a skill. Like your ability to adapt to fear and to push through fear is also a skill. It's, you know, we're born with like a natural amount of fear, and that allows us, it's like our bodies or evolution's way of telling us to take care of ourselves and be safe so that we don't die. And like, and you know, these other manifestations of fear where it's like, okay, well, if I don't want to fail, you know, the concern is if I fail, maybe I lose all my money and then I don't have a home and then I die. Like, it's just like this, and everything comes back to like survival instincts. Or if I fail, so my partner leaves me and then I'll be alone forever and then I'll die alone. And it just kind of leads to the same path of like, I'm going to like, it's about survival, right? So fear exists as a physiological response to remind us that, you know, hey, are you sure you want to do this? Because we want you to survive here, right? And that's always going to be there. And you talk to some of the people that are extremely successful, maybe even like public speakers that have spoken hundreds of times in front of massive audiences, and they still talk about this experience of fear that they have as they're going into this, you know, these talks. And they like these people that are professionals, and they talk about this as if this is never going to go away, or it might subside, or they might get more skillful in dealing with it, but it's not something that ever goes away. So I think in the theme of what we're talking about, this is also a skill. And the better that you, the more times that you do it, the more that you can show yourself that it's possible. And the more times that you can prove to yourself that it's possible, the more likely it is that you can do this in the future, and the easier it is for you to do this in the future, I think. So this is across the board in like almost every type of scenario that you can imagine, starting a business, asking somebody out on a date. Like this is everywhere pretty much. And the more times that you do it, the more that you can prove the more that you can handle this, this weird emotion of fear and move past it, the more likely you are to be able to give yourself feedback that it's going to be okay, and that this is not going to kill you, and that you can do this thing. And this is easier said than done, but this is something that I'm obviously challenged with this on a regular basis, and I have to remind myself that this is something that I have to push for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That was so cool. I'm smiling, and I was listening to you, and I was thinking to myself while smiling, oh, this is like such a mirror reflection. It's like I split into two and became you and started speaking to myself. And it's really, really cool. What a cool mirror reflection. And I love that. I just love that the emphasis on fear, like adapting to fear as a skill. That is so beautiful. Like recognizing that it's just such a well that like that. I think that in itself is like it's an opening to new possibilities for anyone who's still sort of relating to fear as anything other than a skill to adapt, a skill to develop. Like it's a component of our being as humans that, you know, we either learn to work with, or, you know, we're constantly kind of running from or battling or at war with in some way, and just like recognizing that it is a skill, like it almost like I've been using this word often lately, integration. It integrates fear into our identity as human beings, and like it integrates it into sort of like a more holistic way of understanding ourselves, and just, you know, it puts fear in like under a completely different light, and that's just so cool. Like so cool, really. Mm-hmm. Like it's so cool.
I think it's so important, and this is like the theme of recognizing that really almost anything can be turned into a skill. I mean, there's certain things that, like, I don't want to go to the extremes, because if, you know, some people are like, oh, well, this can't be a skill. But I think in general, like this perspective or this paradigm of seeing everything as a skill is much more empowering than any other perspective that is used to justify why something isn't. Mm-hmm. So if you can ask, how can I turn this into a situation that this becomes a skill that I can learn? It's like infinitely, in my opinion, infinitely much more powerful for, like, and useful to you than to justify why it is not. And I think in most situations, people justify, and I found myself doing this in the past as well, like justifying, you know, this is just how it is, or this is how I am, and like those types of things, and like using reasons to explain it, because I'm sure you can find hundreds of reasons why you're the way you are. Maybe this person did this to you, or your family was like this, or, you know, you had a terrible traumatic experience as a kid. You can use all these reasons to explain why something is the way it is. But that's like, that serves very, very little purpose to allowing you to get to where you want to go. Mm-hmm. If where you want to go is like where you currently are exactly in that current position, then justify all you want, because that allows you to continue to maintain the current position that you're in. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to be, you know, if you're happy with it, that's cool. If you're not happy with it, what it allows is allows you to be continually the victim of your circumstances, because you're using the your past events or your past situation, your current circumstances to describe why that is the way it is. And I'm passionate about this because I've had this issue in the past with a lot of different types of things, even in situations where I don't recognize that it's necessarily like a problem. It's very human to be able to say, okay, cool, this is just, I want to explain why this is currently happening. And when I explain it, then it's almost a justification for like this is okay that it is the way it is because I just explained it. And yeah, so I think there's a lot to be said there if you're able to recognize that anything that you want to change in your life is can be improved through learning a skill set. Or to be, and if maybe you don't want to see it as a skill set, maybe you want to see it as practice. Maybe you want to see it as like going deeper into like exploring that area so you can learn. Maybe you want to see it as learning. But all these are different ways of just saying that this is something that can be improved through effort and like as either through skill or something like that. However you want to describe it in those words, that's what I think is really important to recognize. And if you take on this perspective, then literally anything can be improved within, like, I mean, you can't fly immediately, but there's like, I think there's a lot of power in saying that, like, this is something that I recognize that I can do. And even for crazy things, like, you know, external things to yourself, like it had to have taken somebody at some point saying, hey, you know what? We can't fly now, but I want to build this thing that allows me to jump off this cliff and then and believe that like this is something that can be possibly changed. And it's and it comes to, I mean, experimentation and trying really hard, but it's also a skill. It's like, okay, let's figure this thing out because I want this thing. It's not possible now, but I believe it's possible and now and I want it. And now I'm going to start figuring out what it takes for me to get towards that thing. And if this happens as much as it is inside of us, and it happens to the external world, and we see this because now we're launching like spaceships to like, you know, we're like mm-hmm. We came from monkeys to now we're launching spaceships, and this came from somebody saying, hey, I want this thing to happen and I want to figure out, even though it's not possible now or it's not in my reality now, I want to figure out how I can make this possible. And it's through this effort and skill or like this investment in like this possibility that exists, right? So I think it's really cool to see this not only reflected internally, but it's reflected externally in the world that we live in. Like it's, I mean, all this shit that we have in our, am I allowed to say shit?
Yeah,
all this
yeah.
Stuff that we, all this stuff that we have in our, like in our world with like air conditioning and like microwaves and like, and internet, like all of this is only possible. You know, if the person that wanted to do that thing said, okay, this is not happening because it doesn't exist now, or this is the current reality and this is why it's not possible, then it's like a whole different conversation that we wouldn't have none of those things that are in our world today. So I think it's nice to see that this is not just like an internal mental thing, but it's like reflected in our external world in what is, you know, we see these examples because we turn on the TV or we have a computer in front of us, and that's only possible because of what's been happening as somebody's imagination or somebody's desire to make something different than what existed at that current time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally, totally. So well put, beautifully said. I totally agree with all of that. It's so beautiful. And just to add to that, it's simply more effective, like having those, holding those kinds of perspectives and approaching things from that perspective. It's just, it's a lot more effective. Like your chances of producing something either close to that thing that you want to get to or imagined to be possible or that actual thing are just much higher than if you just stick to it's just the way it is and there's no changing it and it's, you know, it's just how I am and all that kind of stuff. Like that perspective, your chances are pretty low, like just much lower. And why do that? You know, that's kind of what it comes back to for me is, you know, well, why choose this one perspective that, you know, decreases my chances of actually producing any of the possibilities I imagine, when like, you know, if I want those possibilities, and why would I invest my energy and my focus on a perspective that just doesn't empower that in you know, not as much. Really, really cool. What's something that you've been thinking about lately?
Oh, this is cool. And it's kind of related that I think it's a cool one to share. That's in the same topic. I've been really interested in this idea of, I'm really interested in paradigms and perspectives because just like a small shift can really, really, really change the way that you see the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I've incorporated into like my morning routine is I have this kind of reminder to myself that everything that happens, this started with challenges, but then it kind of became kind of a larger thing. So I think people can relate to this. I've talked to a few people about this, and I think it might be more widespread than I think it is initially. But I think that as people, we expect that at some point things are going to be fundamentally different. So what I mean by that is, like, at some point, you know, when I finish building this business, then I can relax. Or, like, you know, when so and so is less annoying, then we can have a good relationship, and I'll be happier. Or at some point when it's like we're always waiting for the situation where things will change and things will be better because the problem essentially goes away. We think that we can end the problems in our lives, and once the problems end, then that is when life can be better. Mm-hmm. And I've had this, like, I do a lot of work in myself. I do a lot of self-exploration, and I wouldn't consider myself as somebody who doesn't want to resolve problems or, like, doesn't want to address conflicts or whatever it might be, but or doesn't know that there's going to be problems in the future. But I had this realization that I was, like, in the past couple months, that I really deep down thought that at some point I could resolve all the problems of my life and then things would be better.
Mm.
It's like this really weird thing. And it's like, you know, when you say it, like, it's not an absolute way. And, like, of course I know there's going to be problems, but, like, there's some part of me that just felt like maybe things will be different eventually. And then maybe I'll resolve all this. And then my life will be fundamentally different. And then I'll be able to be happy from that.
Mm.
And I talked to a few people about this, and they also kind of resonated with this. In whatever capacity, it might be, like, in a relationship, it might just be, like, in general, that you feel like, hey, some point these things are going to get resolved, and then I can finally, you know, when I finally make enough money, I can finally do what I really want to do in life. Like, those types of, like, feelings, right? And what I've been thinking about recently is this perspective of recognizing, as opposed to this feeling of, like, problems are going to go away. I actually wanted to reframe it as not problems. I wanted to reframe it as challenges first. So instead of the fact that challenges are going to go away, that challenges are always going to exist, and they're always going to be there. And not only are they always going to be there, the fact that the challenges are happening, every single challenge that I experience is going to allow me to be 1% better than before if I didn't experience that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that I'm literally incorporating into my morning, this kind of, like, morning reminder, morning mantra, is that there's going to be experiences today that are going to be challenges, and there's going to be experiences today that are going to be that's just not going to go my way, and I'm expecting that rather than being surprised when a challenge comes. So in the past, along with this kind of, like, hey, problems are going to end type perspective, I would be surprised when problems or challenges came.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I have to deal with this challenge again, or I have to deal with this problem, and for now, I'm just going to say challenge, but I have to deal with this challenge because it's coming up, and it's almost like I'm dreading it. Like, I didn't expect it, and now it's coming, and it is just like this whole weird, like, perspective. And now what I've done is I've started shifting it to expecting challenges are going to come. And when I started doing this for the past maybe, like, 2 months, my reality changed. Like, it's really, like, when I expect that this is going to come, and when it finally comes, it's like, oh, this is not an issue. Like, I expected this challenge to be here. And now all I have to do is recognize that I'm going to handle this the best I can. And as a result of this, the second piece is recognizing that when I do this, I'm going to be 1% better. And 1% is just an arbitrary amount. You might be 0.1% better, or maybe you'll be 5% better if it's, like, a really serious thing. But, like, it's recognizing that every situation is going to be, as a result of me bringing myself to the best way of resolving it, I'm going to be improved as if compared to as if I had never had that experience to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been, like, a really, really crazy thing that's made it's a small perspective shift, and maybe depending on where you're coming from, maybe a big perspective shift, but that's really made a big difference in, like, the way that I see challenges come up. And of course, I'm not, like, an expert at this, and of course, like, you know, sometimes I still get super annoyed, or, like, you know, the other day I recorded, like, a class, and it was like a two-hour class, or an hour and a half class. And after I finished the class, I realized that I actually didn't press the record button. So I was so frustrated. I had to do the entire thing again. Like, it was a live class too. So I lost all the questions and everything that came with it. And probably for about half an hour afterwards, I was just, like, in this mode of dread. And then when I finally reminded myself that, you know, this has already happened, I can't really do much about it, I'm super annoyed, and this really sucks that I have to do this again. But I'm you know, what can I do now? And what can I learn from this that will allow me to be 1% better? Because this challenge has already happened. It's, I can't do anything about the fact that it already happened, but now I can do something about how I'm going to become as a person as a result of this thing happening. So, yeah, that was a really interesting, like, this is a really interesting perspective that I've taken on that I think has made a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's so beautiful. I totally feel that. I totally feel that. It's definitely how I live my life, and it's definitely beautiful. And that's not to say that, you know, sometimes those challenges do get under my skin. And you know, I do forget for quite some time, whether it's for, you know, an hour or a week. But eventually, the sort of moment of remembrance happens, and then I remember, oh, okay. And then I recognize that the challenge presents an opportunity, and the opportunity is for, you know, growth, for learning. And that's, you know, like, for me, the way in which I kind of go about life is that it's not so much relevant to me whether or not something is objectively true. Like, that might not be the truth of the way things work, and it might not be. It's just that that's not relevant. For me, what is relevant is a question of whether or not it is empowering me and whether or not it's effective. And that brings us back to, like, that perspective. Is the perspective on something like a challenge in our day-to-day, or challenges that are sort of big in our lives, is our perspective on those challenges one that empowers us and you know, empowers us to be more effective and to feel more effective and to feel good about ourselves and to feel like we are moving in the direction that we want to go in, and we're happy with our growth, we're happy with what we're discovering and uncovering for ourselves and the connections that we're making, and it's just, you know, there's some sort of alignment and resonance with what we want for ourselves in life? Or is that perspective not giving us all of those things? And if the perspective is not giving us all of those things, well, then what's the point of you know, choosing that perspective? Because that's kind of what it boils down to. It's a choice. In my opinion, there is no way to know the objective truth of all things, objective reality. There's speculation, and there's hypotheses, and there's experimentation, and you know, there's all of these things, but, you know, we aren't at the end of time, or, you know, at the end of the universe or galaxies. We're in the middle of it somewhere, and there's just no way for us to know the objective truth. And if we can't know the objective truth, then, you know, what's the relevance in the relevance in seeking the objective truth is, of course, that curiosity and wanting to understand things better and learning and all of that. There's that aspect of it. But that aside, there's also the context of, like, day-to-day life and practical living. And within, like, the container of day-to-day life, since we can't really have those objective, you know, ultimate answers to everything, what we're left with is just the choice of which perspective actually empowers us and moves us forward in the direction that we want to go to. So yeah, I definitely, like, I totally feel that the challenges there, they are for sure for me, because I choose this perspective and I love this perspective because it invigorates me. They are opportunities. They're opportunities for growth, opportunities for learning. They're opportunities for that 1% improvement, or 5%, or whatever the case is. And that's a, you know, it's like, it's a refreshing perspective, and it's just empowering. And, like, there's really nothing else to it. Just, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing else to it. It's empowering.
Yeah, for sure. I really like the idea about the, I mean, really essentially about this no objective truth, and really, I mean, yeah, I don't want to go into that route of, like, no objective truth, but the idea is just choosing a truth that is, choosing a truth that's empowering for you. And that's, I think that's the best way to kind of go about this with a, if your goal is to, if your goal is to improve in a certain way and go in a certain direction of your desires, choosing the perspective, or choosing your personal truth that's most empowering is, I think, the best path that will get you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Well, this was such a wonderful conversation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was so refreshing, and such a mirror reflection, truly. It was like hearing myself, like in the version that is you, which is the only way I can describe it. It's just so wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was really awesome. That was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I hope your listeners are going to get value from this. And I think this is like a really, really good, fun conversation for me too.
And that was intuitive session number 8. What a wonderful conversation with Vance. Really, I truly felt like that was such a mirror reflection for me. I mean, hearing him talk about, you know, uncertainty and overthinking and all these kinds of things, the way I've described it during the episode, it's like hearing myself, as like version Vance. It's so cool. It's so cool. So many people are just such beautiful mirror reflections. It's such a beautiful thing. Thank you to all of you listening. Thank you for tuning in once again. I hope you enjoyed that. Please, if you want to continue this conversation with me, feel free to do so. Reach out. I'm always happy to have conversations. I'm always happy to continue conversations. Share feedback. Share with your friends. Listen to the next episode, whenever that will be. And thanks again for tuning in. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the love. Look forward to the next time. Next episode, I'm sure it'll be just as good, if not better. Ciao.